The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Hey everyone, Renee here, and I am so excited to tell you all about our October box. Our theme is true crime, and our book of the month is We Keep the Dead Close, A Murder at Harvard and Half a Century of Silence by Becky Cooper. I haven't read this one yet, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. This book and Yellowbird by Sierra Crane Murdoch were head-to-head in our voting poll, and this one won out with an Instagram tiebreaker. We've never done that before, but it was so close that we had to have some sort of tiebreaker. So I took it to Instagram, and this is what won. We Keep the Dead Close. Again, as always, we do have copies of Yellowbird that our members, subscribers, are able to swap in if they've already read We Keep the Dead Close. And we bought a few of the other titles that received a lot of the votes as well. Anyways, our team at Feminist Book Club has a lot of big feelings about true crime as a genre, which we will be digging into a bit more here on this show, on our blog, on our social media. Long story short, the obsession with true crime often centers salacious stories of young white women as victims while simultaneously ignoring the pandemic of violence against women of color, especially Indigenous women. And as a genre, true crime targets suburban white women in their marketing, stoking often unfounded fears of stranger danger, while simultaneously ignoring the fact that the vast majority of violence against women comes at the hands of their partners. Okay, I don't bring all this up to shame readers and lovers of true crime books and media, but I always, always want us to think critically about the kinds of media and the stories that we consume and ask ourselves why we love them so much. But like I said, we will talk about those questions more in the upcoming month. A bit more about this book, We Keep the Dead Close. Author Becky Cooper was a student at Harvard when she heard about a 40-year-old mystery. 23-year-old Harvard grad student Jane Britton was found bludgeoned to death in her Cambridge, Massachusetts apartment in 1969. Back then, word on the street on campus, was that she had had an affair with her professor who ultimately murdered her for threatening to make their affair public. So the author, Becky Cooper, ultimately finds that this rumor is false, but she ends up investigating and untangling this story of Jane Britton's murder for over 10 years. She dives into issues like gender equality in academia, elite masculinity, institutional silencing of victims, and our collective compulsion to rewrite the histories of female victims. I am so intrigued by this book, and I am also super excited to share that the author will be joining us for a Q&A at the end of October. We are 10 for 10 for offers this year. I'm excited about that too. So be sure to prepare lots of questions for her as you're reading. In addition to our book of the month, we have curated a fantastic variety of products from small woman-owned businesses for our subscription boxes. We know that not everyone is psyched about the theme, so we wanted to have a little bit of creative liberty with the products. So we went super literal with the first product, a meat cleaver bookmark from Humdrum Paper. Is it creepy? Yes. Is it also practical? Absolutely. Who doesn't need a bookmark? And this one just happens to be a meat cleaver. It's hilarious. I love it. I think it's funny. And it's also on theme, but not too creepy. Humdrum Paper is owned and operated by Brittany Maronek in Florida. And she told me that having her meat cleaver bookmark in a true crime subscription box is a dream come true. Our next item is a bit more tame. We've got liquid hand soap from Bewitching Bath Company. So what does hand soap have to do with true crime? Well, first of all, if you commit a crime, the first thing you're going to want to do is wash your hands. Secondly, everyone will receive blood orange scented soap because blood orange. Get it? Also, it's fresh. It's delightful. Something about colder weather makes me think of citrus, and blood oranges are just one of my favorite things in the whole wide world. Bewitching Bath Company has been around since 1969, coincidentally the same year that Jane Britton, the victim in our book, was killed, but it has been family-owned and operated in New Jersey ever since. Next up, members will receive Little Red Riding Hood-themed washi tape from Girl of All Work, which is one of our favorite woman-owned office supply companies. And why Little Red Riding Hood? So these are the kinds of crimes that we grew up reading about. And while it's not necessarily a true crime, I really believe that stories like these primed us to enjoy true crime, primed us to be aware of predators of all kinds. Anyways, Girl of All Work is owned by Taiwanese-American artist Diana Cao, who started her company in 2007 and is now an artist in residence at the 18th Street Arts Campus in Santa Monica. So you know we love a snack, and something about October makes me crave fancy popcorn. I'm not sure what it is, but we do have fancy popcorn from Dinan Gourmet Popcorn. So in 1979, Nanella Alexander and her husband Dean purchased a gourmet popcorn franchise in San Antonio and renamed it Dinan, combining both their names. It's still family-owned and operated and as delicious as ever, so our box subscribers will receive one of the following gourmet popcorn flavors: caramel, dark chocolate, kettle corn, and vanilla. And as always, if you have any dietary restrictions or allergies, just let us know and we will do our best to accommodate them. Our final October product is a greeting card from one of the following stationery businesses: Slightly Stationery from Oceanside, California; Smarty Pants Paper Company from Knoxville, Tennessee; Cactus Club Paper Goods from Los Angeles, California; Blue Leaf Design Company from Durango, Colorado; Amy Heitman from Grand Rapids, Michigan; or Morgan Swank Studio from Richmond, Virginia. The reason there are so many options here is because we love to support as many businesses as possible, but because we purchase so many items at a time, smaller shops can't always accommodate the size of our order. So what we'll do instead is we'll split up our suppliers to maintain our dedication to small businesses instead of trying to find a larger company that can accommodate our large order. So all of these cards, no matter the designer or stationery company, are all valued at the same price and all have a somewhat creepy design, but still, they're still cute. They're all occasion cards, but they're going to be perfect for sending to your weird cousin, your kooky best friend, or your goth nephew this holiday season. Finally, as you know, we donate 5% of all of our sales to a different social justice organization each month. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we wanted to honor that alongside our true crime theme. And again, because true crime media often centers white victims and their stories, we wanted to center women of color. So we've selected Manavi. Manavi's mission is to end all forms of violence against women, but it began as an awareness campaign concerning violence against South Asian women in particular. Located in New Brunswick, New Jersey, Manavi provides culturally specific support services and intervention methods and helps other organizations adapt and develop strategies to eradicate violence against all women. As a direct service provider, social change agent, and diversity training, Manavi addresses both the immediate needs of women facing abuse and the long-term vision of establishing peaceful communities free from gender-based violence. Check them out. They're doing great work. Their website is manavi.org. That's M-A-N-A-V-I.org. As always, you can sign up right now to receive the October box, or just the book if you'd like just the book instead. And you have until October 9th. After October 9th, if we have any leftover, we'll put our true crime box in the shop for a one-time purchase, but the price will go up. So lock in that $49 a month price by joining us today. And if you want a sweeter deal, use code PODCAST when you check out for a discount. You're welcome.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Feminist Book Club. I'm Phelan Oliver, and today I'll be talking to you about some books that have piqued my interest. Most of these I have ordered or added to my audiobooks list. I haven't gotten to them yet. This month is Suicide Prevention Month, and as someone who struggles with their mental health, I absolutely need to read self-help or self-love books. I know I can't be the only one. So today my segment is going to be me reading blurbs about these books that my plan is to read throughout the fall, winter months, because that's when I get the most down. And hopefully some of you haven't heard about these books and they'll pique your interest as well. And you'll go out and grab one and then you'll chat with me about it online. So the first book, I actually cannot wait to start reading. I've been dealing with an immense amount of like capitalism guilt. I just feel guilty about literally relaxing. But also I feel like I'm getting in my own way sometimes. Anyway, this book is called The Mountain Is You, and it's by Brianna Wiest. This book is about self-sabotage. The blurb reads, "Why we do it, when we do it, and how to stop doing it for good. Coexisting but conflicting needs create self-sabotaging behaviors. This is why we resist efforts to change, often until they are completely futile. But by extracting crucial insight from our most damaging habits, building emotional intelligence by better understanding our brains and bodies, releasing past experiences at a cellular level, and learning to act as our highest potential future selves, we can step out of our own way and into our potential. For centuries, the mountain has been used as a metaphor for the big challenges we face, especially ones that seem impossible to overcome. To scale our mountains, we actually have to do the deep internal work of excavating trauma, building resilience, and adjusting how we show up for the climb. In the end, it is not the mountain we master, but ourselves." Does that not sound good? That sounds so good to me. I can't wait to start it. The next book is called What a Time to Be Alone, and it's by Chidera Egeru. Sorry if I'm butchering your name. The blurb reads, "In What a Time to Be Alone, the slum flower will be your life guru, confidant, and best friend. She'll show you that being alone is not just okay. It's just about the best freaking thing that ever happened to you. As she says, you're bad as hell and you were made with intention. It's about time you realized." Peppered with insightful Igbo proverbs from Chidera's Nigerian mother and full of her own original artwork, What a Time to Be Alone will help you navigate the modern world. We can all decide our own fates, and Chidera shows us how, using a three-part approach filled with sass, wisdom, and charm. 1. Learn how to celebrate you. Decide your self-worth. 2. Don't worry about them. Avoid what other people's demons are and realize that everyone is protecting themselves from something. 3. Feel the togetherness in us. Sustain and grow healthy relationships and avoid toxicity in your friendships. Own your story. Create your narrative. Sounds great. Sounds like a great book to read when you're feeling very lonely. You can be feeling lonely and not be alone. And so even if you're in a relationship and you're feeling lonely, this sounds like a great book to read. If you're single, sounds like a great book to read. I'm reading it regardless. My third book is called Don't Fucking Panic by Kelsey Durrah. It reads, "If you are one of the millions of people struggling to manage your mental health right now, stop whatever you're doing and read this interactive workbook created by comedian and mental health advocate Kelsey Durrah. With a completely raw and honest approach to discussing, accepting, and managing debilitating anxiety, panic, and depression, Don't Fucking Panic, the shit they don't tell you in therapy about anxiety disorder, panics, and depression, is a refreshing and often painfully hilarious guide to long-term recovery and healing. Whether you are experiencing a panic attack right now, or simply realize there is seemingly no end to how many ways your beautiful brain can mess up your day with uncool thoughts, this workbook is about to become your new best friend and a permanent resident on your bedside table." Now, I saw some of the images of the workbook and it looks fun, and yeah, excited. I ordered that one. It's on the way. Okay, I have 1, 2, 3 more books. So following that, this next book sounds really inspiring and like something I should have read in my 20s. And it's called Daring to Take Up Space by Danielle Cope. All these books will be linked in the show notes because I am butchering all of these authors' names. and I apologize. This is for anyone who needs a reminder that you deserve to take up space in the world and that you are enough. Danielle is the author behind the Internal Acceptance Movement. In her first poetry collection, Danielle gives voice to the fear and anxiety, as well as the perseverance and strength that has been fundamental to her own personal growth journey and the path to a deeper and more meaningful self-love and acceptance. In her own words, this book is for the 17-year-old Danielle who was convinced she was worthless, who was convinced she would never survive or amount to anything. This is for the friends and family who never stop believing in her and supporting her. This is for all the people who feel that they have to shrink and hide who they are in order to be loved and accepted and worth something. So, woo! Like I said, I wish I would have read it in my 20s, but I'm excited to read it now. Okay, second to last book I hear is helped a lot of people heal from relationship trauma. And this book is called The Strength in Our Scars by Bianca Sparacino. The Strength in Our Scars is Bianca's reminder to you, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you are on your healing journey, you are strong. Through poetry, prose, and compassion and encouragement, you would expect from someone who knows exactly what you're working through. Sparacino is here with the words you need. The Strength in Our Scars tackles the gut-wrenching but relatable experiences of moving on, self-love, and ultimately learning to heal. In this book, you will find peace, you will find a rock, you will find understanding, and you will find hope. Remember, whatever is dark within you has also carved light into your soul. Whatever is lost within you has also brought you back home to yourself. Whatever is hurt within you is also healing you in ways you may not understand at the moment. This book hopes to show you that. And I can't wait till it shows me that, because I just feel like after this, you know, bout of seasonal depression that I'll probably have, but I'll be reading these books, I feel like I may be a changed person. Like I'll be the phoenix that rises from the ashes. This last book, last but not least, I've heard so many great things about it. I wasn't going to add it to this list because it's an author that I already mentioned, but I had to hear so many great things about it, and so I ordered it, and I thought, why not? And the book is called 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think, and it's, again, by Brianna Wiest. The blurb reads, over the past few years, Brianna has gained renown for her deeply moving philosophical writing. This new compilation of her published work features pieces on why you should pursue purpose over passion, embrace negative thinking, see the wisdom in daily routine, and become aware of the cognitive biases that are creating the way you see your life. Some of these pieces have never been seen. Others have been read by millions of people around the world. Regardless, each will leave you thinking, this idea changed my life. And I can't wait to get my life changed. So yeah, this is just a list that I'll be working through this fall. And I hope that some of those piqued your interest. If they did, let me know on social. You can find me on Instagram at Phalen Oliver. It's P as in Peter, H-A-L-I-N-O-L-I-V-E-R. And yeah, I'm super excited to dive in. And maybe I'll even talk about it as I'm reading the books on my Instagram. We'll see. But thanks for tuning in. I hope you have listened this far. And I hope you have a great day. See you next time. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club. Well-read woman.